Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Tobin Heath.
And I'm Kristen Press.
We're World Cup champions, Olympians, and the hosts of The Recap Show.
Week in and week out, we sit down with sports legends, cultural icons, and global changemakers to talk everything from clutch games to causes that matter.
This is about creating the future of women's sports, a future that's honest, inclusive, and real.
Join us for our reimagined journey. Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
The pressure on data centers has never been greater. Whether you're expanding capacity, supporting AI workloads, or building new facilities, Graybar works alongside you with the solutions, specialists, and logistics expertise you need today. We help you power performance every step of the way, so your operation is ready now. Yep, Graybar does that.
6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Spray on Portland's sports leader, 1080, The Fan. Hello, welcome into a fast break Friday, a flap shot Friday, football Friday, a friendly Friday, a fun Friday.
Yes.
Any other Fridays? Freaky Friday.
Got to go Freaky Friday.
Yeah, you do.
What is happening?
The Pacers got freaky.
They did get a little freaky last night.
If we were Thunder, if that was the Blazers and the Pacers did that to us, we'd still be speechless, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't really know how I would open the show today. Like, what the hell just happened?
I think I'm still there.
That's just like, Like, the entire time, yeah. You thought it was going to be a blowout.
Even though we saw them win a game exactly like that in each round of the playoffs.
We had somebody tweet us last night, and it was so spot on. It shows how much of an idiot I am. And he was like, didn't one of you say every time the Pacers are down by 15 points, you're going to live bet them in the playoffs? And I really hope you did that, and you don't come in today and say, I woulda, coulda, shoulda. And I woulda, coulda, shoulda. I just totally forgot, totally spaced on it.
Really?
I don't know why I didn't do it. They were losing the whole game. I even had the thought in the back of my mind of like, I wonder if they come back and win this one too.
You didn't have the confidence in
it,
did you?
It wasn't, I don't know if it was confidence or I was doing other stuff and just trying to watch the game and it was on in the background and then I never placed a bet. And then all of a sudden I'm like, oh my God, they're doing it again. I missed my chance.
I'm not going to sit here. I didn't text anything to you guys about this. I didn't text anybody else. I'm not going to sit here and pretend. I will tell you, them only being down 10 at halftime made me go,
uh-oh.
This is danger territory for the Thunder.
They didn't play very well.
Like 19 first half turnovers.
They were only down by 10.
Yeah.
Not good, Bob.
That game should have been over at halftime.
It should have been down 20
or more.
I kept
waiting for that one 8-0, 9-0, 10-0 burst to take it from 10 to 20.
And then you're doing the, what else is on? This game's over. They're not coming back from down by 25.
And it never happened. Where was Chet?
Chet, where you at, Chet?
He only played like 23 minutes.
I know.
And his bony little elbows and his weird beard. Where was he at last night?
Dude, I know the Thunder could still win this series. I don't want to pretend the series has shifted.
No. I mean, they could win four in a row and
right.
win in five.
100%.
They're clearly the better team.
But is it not odd to anybody else that the Pacers, without playing a second against the Thunder in this finals, made the Thunder change their starting lineup?
I know.
A little weird why you would react to that level.
That is bizarre.
That's a little strange. If anybody's changing a lineup, it should be the heavy underdog in the series in Indiana.
Well, have they been able to convert turnovers in the first half? I mean, Indiana couldn't do anything. They couldn't start the offense there.
Well, they were too nervous. They said that Halliburton was talking about this. Siakam mentioned it. Like, their nerves, they hadn't settled in.
It's the finals, man. It's game one of the NBA finals. We talked about it yesterday. There's only two guys who have even played in an NBA finals in this entire series.
No, I totally get all that.
It's just like nobody's ever been here before.
The Thunder all year, playoffs and regular season, When you do 19 turnovers in a first half, they're up 30.
They're up exactly. by 30 in the
that game.
It's over.
That's the primetime Saturday night game against Denver, and it's like 62-29 at halftime. Yeah. And you're like, all right, guess we're not watching any hoops tonight.
And I was like, dude, they could cut it to single digits at the half. I'd feel amazing.
How are they only down by 10?
It didn't make any sense.
At least it lived up to the hype. Your sport had a nice little night last night.
Yeah, it did. I did have people texting me, this game sucks.
This game sucks.
This game's boring.
I mean, the first 75% of it was not very good, but then the fourth quarter totally redeemed itself.
What made it not very good? The deficit of like 10 to 13?
It was basically the same score the entire game, and I think we all had that same thought of like, OKC's the better team. They're going to pull away at some point. Like, there's no way they lose this game, and then you're just, oh my God, Indiana did it again. And I brought this up the last time they did it, which would have been what, game one? Against the Knicks in the conference finals, the more they do it, it's like, is this a team of destiny? Is this just their year? Because it makes no mathematical sense how any team has been able to do what they've done this postseason.
I would say the player and the team doing what they're doing at the end of every game.
Just like, can't miss.
It's impossible.
Down by 10, down by 15, it does not matter. Nothing
and
matters.
There's always
this team.
One guy. Neesmith did this in the fourth quarter when he had the six and the
yeah,
Knicks
against
comeback.
The Knicks.
It was Obi Toppin. He hit four threes.
Well, how about Miles Turner's step back bank three?
Yeah.
I was like, what? Crazy.
That's what we're doing right now? That's going insane. In at this point? This might be your year.
I will be curious if the Thunder offense really suffered without Hartenstein in with the starters. They didn't. That threw them off. The defense was fine with Cason Wallace
yeah.
in there, and they put pressure out on the perimeter, and they were getting all the shooters early. They didn't get a lot of looks. They got the turnovers, but they couldn't finish. But then when OKC had to set up in the half court, the Hartenstein clearing space, getting people in pick and rolls, demanding this, rolling to the offensive glass. The Thunder got destroyed on the glass.
They got obliterated. Yeah. I didn't know this because I went to see what the final turnover tally was.
Yeah, what the final count was.
And I think they finished with 25.
That's a lot of turnovers.
I want to bring up their box score here in just
19
a second.
In the first half, right?
19 in the first
so
half.
So 19-6 is at least a decent split from first half to second half. That's a lot of turnovers.
They cleaned it up, certainly, but to have 25 turnovers and win a basketball game when the other team has six, I think I saw the stat correctly. It's like the only other team to do that is our 77 Blazers.
Yeah.
Like,
look at us
when we eliminated the Sixers
in our glory days, back in our prime.
I think they had 27 turnovers in that game against the Sixers, and they still won.
Found a way to win the game.
And I'm not that was remarkable in its time, but like for me in my lifetime to have 25 turnovers against this caliber of a team and win
to be that good defensively.
But the Thunder only converted
56-39 rebounds.
Yeah, they got crushed on the glass.
There's no numbers that break down how it makes sense that Indiana won the game. Like, what's the
stat
that you would even give?
The Pacers only converted those 25 turnovers into 11 points.
You mean the Thunder?
The Thunder. 11 points on 25
turnovers.
So that would be
three-point
shooting was a 10-point was a 10% advantage Indiana.
Okay, all right.
And we know in this
huge
day and age, that's a big thing.
Teams are jacking up threes. I get it.
You know, I'll give you this.
The hustle board, I will say that.
The hustle board
will tell us that Oklahoma City won this game by 30 points.
I will say the one other area that I don't know if it's going to get talked about a whole lot that kind of stuck out to me. SGA had 38 points on 30 shots.
Not as efficient as he could have been.
They only shot 24 free throws as a team. The Pacers had 21.
Yeah.
They only had 13 assists. It was SGA going one-on-one.
Yeah, it was a one-on-one game.
It was just, I'm going to do it.
I think it's there's not one thing, but like an underrated, like what's something you'd point to, you asked? 3-point percentage being a 10% difference is big. I'd also just point to free throws. I just would have naturally assumed the free throw disparity would be more than three.
Because SGA is probably going to get 13 or 12
and it's
or
a home
11.
Game.
It's a home game. You're going to get the benefit of the whistle.
No, the Pacers were able to get in front of them and defend them without egregiously fouling them all the time.
Yeah.
Fast break points, too.
Look at us.
That was only 11-10.
Look at us with a deep breakdown right out of the gate today. That was a great game, though. It deserves it.
I mean, hockey and basketball are off to a nice start.
We're off to a nice start in
sometimes
the finals.
Sometimes you say things with a voice and a smile that's like, oh, that's cute.
Look at your cute little sport over there.
That's a great start.
Dude, that was an insane start. Yeah.
I literally screamed in my living. I scared my daughter. She's studying for a math final. I was like, and she was like, what?
What happened?
I was like, Halliburton. She's like, damn it.
Well, I was
she
pissed,
hates Halliburton.
She hates Halliburton. Is she rooting for OKC? She rooting for the Thunder?
She likes, I think, she, I
what
think
a pro
she likes
wants,
us,
what a pro needs.
I think she likes us.
Into the Canadians. I, yeah.
Well, that Canadian.
That Canadian. That Canadian. Not all Canadians, but that Canadian.
Not the Minnesotan.
No, not the Minnesotan. Yeah, it was like watching it unfold down the stretch, but absolute bananas. Lived up to the hype for game one of the finals, because the worst thing we talked about yesterday, worst thing you can have is a dud at this point in the year. Felt like we were going to get a dud. Not a lot of anticipation about it being a long, tight series. The best thing that the NBA needed, the absolute most thing that they needed most, was Indiana winning game one, and they got it. And it was a great game to boot too.
Well, look at all the sports going on. Like the French Open's been really good. We got Coco Gauff in the final.
Yeah,
damn
Coco
right, we do.
An American Sabalenka. In the final.
Yep. I definitely know that.
Sabalenka. I mean, how do you not know who that is?
Yeah, big fan of her work.
We've had some really good golf stuff happen. We got the U.S. Open next week.
We have.
Okay. Hockey's off to a great start.
Game one, phenomenal.
Basketball playoffs have been kind of wild and crazy. Look at the Indiana Pacers up 1-0 in the NBA Finals.
OKC versus Indiana.
Kind of looking at football going, that's all you gave us, huh?
That's it. Yeah.
Your Super Bowl?
34-0, really?
That was your Super Bowl?
That's what you're giving me?
All they gave us was Aaron Rodgers yesterday. A big, like, okay.
I'm going to do that from the entire 8 a.m. hour. Aaron Rodgers, what does it mean?
Yes or no, he was really upset at the timing of Elon and Trump's public fight.
That was the funniest thing about it. Of all the days that he could have signed, that was almost the perfect news day for it to happen. Was it not? Like, oh, look at that. The news finally broke, and then an hour later, nobody cares.
Billionaire cat fight.
Let's talk some Epstein files here, huh? Who's in there? Who's not in there? Let's check out some names on this bad boy.
One guy did not want to talk about that. He moved right on.
No comment. Let's move on. Next topic. I'm shutting down your rockets. No more rockets for you.
Release all the files. Ooh, you know, that one's really not fair. It's not fair to everybody.
Keep that one under wraps.
I wonder why.
That was a perfect day for Aaron Rodgers to announce his commitment to the Pittsburgh Steelers and then just get overshadowed by two guys he loves.
I have Rodgers telling his agent, deliver the news. And then I have him going to take a crap, opening up his phone on the toilet.
No.
Scrolling up.
No!
Damn it!
It's not me!
This was my day today!
It was all about me! I was trying to steal the thunder from the NBA Finals, game one, two small markets, nobody cares. I'm going to dominate the discourse. Everybody's going to talk Steelers for 24 hours. And not so fast, my friend.
I honestly saw it and I was like, oh.
Yeah, all right, whatever.
Jerry Dulac told us that a month ago.
Yeah, it was one of those.
It's not like, even in my update.
We all knew it was going to happen.
I mean, it probably should be in your update.
It probably should be, but I'm like,
It was early enough in the day yesterday where I feel like that's not a big whiff on your part.
I mean,
when did that happen? 11 o'clock? When did that news break?
It's the equivalent to me of when we find out this summer Kevin Durant's traded.
Yeah.
And it's going to be like, breaking news! Kevin Durant's been traded again!
Yeah.
And I'll be like, yeah.
Unless he's coming to Portland.
What? Yeah, we're going to go get Kevin Durant this offseason?
Who would you trade for Kevin Durant, though?
Now, you got to make the salaries match, right? Because he's got one more year left on his deal.
I'd give them, well, so
they would want an expiring, I'd imagine.
So
Ayton would get you a decent amount.
Ayton going back?
Ayton going back. Oh, that's true. They wouldn't want
Ayton. They wouldn't want him back.
Do they want Anthony Simons? I would trade Anthony Simons for him.
I'd trade Scuda.
Scuda? I mean, the tough part with Scuda is his numbers salary-wise don't quite match what Kevin Durant's making.
Would you trade Scuda 11 and...
I think you could... How many years does Grant have left?
They're not taking the Grant contract.
Dude, I think he's two or three.
They're not touching that contract, dude. And Phoenix is making that
trade. It's one of the worst deals we've ever made as a franchise.
It's to get financial flexibility in the short term, and acquiring Jeremy Grant does not give them financial flexibility.
I knew it wasn't just
It's definitely
expiring.
Not expiring.
No.
I thought it was maybe two.
We got Ayton and Simons on expiring deals.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Oh, no, is it three?
Yeah, no, it's... No, it's three because there's a player option in 27.
And he's picking up that player option.
Because that's $36 million.
Yeah, and how old is he going to be that year?
He'll be 33.
Yeah, he's picking up that option. I'm going to go out on a limb right now and say Jeremy Grant, averaging 12 points a game, will pick up that option.
Think about how bad his year was. He's only 31.
He's only 31, yeah.
I know.
Kevin Durant, by the way, this year is going to make $54.7 million. So you got to cook up $54 million on your books.
Mm-hmm.
Him being in a Blazer uniform would be entertaining, though. I'll give you that.
What would be the difference in us doing that with him versus what we did with Melo? I feel like people were mad about the Melo thing because of that.
You just want him in the jersey.
Yeah, I do. We're not great.
Am I wrong in saying Kevin Durant still better than what Melo was when he came?
You know, you're not wrong. I'm just like saying,
yeah, like the impact.
There's a crowd of people like, you're just doing it so you can see him. Like,
yeah.
What else do I have?
He's 37 years old. I don't care. Get him here for 2 years. That's
we don't
fine.
Have a Halliburton on our team.
Should have drafted him number one overall. The history would have been different. Think about where our franchise would be at. At least we'll make right on that mistake.
Yeah. So he's got this year, he'll make 32 grand. Next year, 26, 27, he'll make 34.
Yes, sir.
And then he has the player option in 27. Why did we give him a player option?
When we knew Damian Lillard was going to get traded, too, by the way.
Why did we make that contract?
I mean, you can't let guys walk for nothing, Sprague.
5 years.
You can't just let guys walk out the door. You can't do that. You got to keep your guys in-house.
Well, the Pacers won.
The Pacers won. Game one. They got that going for them.
God. Conseco Fieldhouse is going to be amazing in Game 3.
The Indiana Pacers winning an NBA
that would be
Finals.
Gamebridge.
Where would that?
Oh, shut up. Yeah. Come on. Call it what it is.
It's the Rose Garden, damn it. Where would that rank amongst all time surprising championships for you?
Oh, man. It's
like Nick Foles Eagles is up there for me. Like, what? That guy beat Tom Brady.
Nick Foles Eagles is a good one. Baseball, the Rangers and Diamondbacks.
You get random teams that'll win it from time to time.
I think the
in baseball.
Texas Rangers over under that year was 77.
At least with baseball, it's like a
that
semi-regular
White Sox
occurrence.
Title they
05?
Had with A.G. Przinski and that
Juan Uribe.
Juan Uribe.
I don't know. That was
Jenks coming out of the bullpen
Bobby
with Jenks. His with his dyed hair and his dyed
starting
soul patch.
They had what was the cat's name? Lefty. He was a left-handed pitcher.
Mark Burley?
Mark Burley.
Yeah.
Mark Burley on that team.
Mark Burley
I guess that
threw a perfect game.
It was just random.
It was like the 97 Marlins. Yeah. It was actually a loaded veteran roster, and nobody really talked
about
it. See,
they won 99 games that
year. No, they did.
I know. Just, they did come out. They won 83
games. Going
six,
into the year,
like,
we weren't talking about the White Sox in 05.
That's true. That's very true. Yeah, we weren't
that
talking
a good
a lot
one.
About them.
White Sox 05.
They had not won a playoff game prior to that. Oh, or a playoff series prior to that.
In a long time.
1959. No, they didn't even win it in 1959 because there was no playoffs.
Yeah. What a depressing baseball city.
Dude,
Chicago
I legitimately
was.
Don't. I think the last time they won a playoff series prior to that was 1917.
Was the Black Sox.
When it didn't count.
dude. Because until then, they made the ALCS 1 year, but that was when it was you would go to the regular, after the regular season, go straight to the ALS. They didn't win another series to get there. They lost. They made the World Series in a year where you just went to the World Series. You won the pennant, you went out of the regular season and lost. Same thing in 1993 before they expanded the playoffs.
Jeez Louise.
And then they made it in 2000 and lost to the Mariners, the mighty Seattle Mariners.
I didn't have Pacers, Thunder, Game 1, you know, quick reaction, emotional thought leading into White Sox baseball trivia.
Full breakdown.
Welcome into football.
It's going to be a fun Friday today.
It is. All right, let's get it going. We got a lot of, to talk about. Kevin Bowen is going to join us at 8:30.
Not
7:30.
8:30.
So
everybody knows
is gone.
Yes. Well, we'll move it.
No, we don't need to move it.
To 8:15.
You're not gambling on
I'm
any
gambling
of this
on
stuff.
All this stuff.
So we'll get to all of it today, the Roger stuff, whatnot. Let's come back. A little more finals observation I want to get to. We'll do that next on The Fan.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. As we approach America's 250th anniversary, now might be the time to go back and learn how we got here. With more than 200 episodes, you can binge your way, decade by decade, defining event to defining event, from the founding into the 20th century. Join me, Professor Greg Jackson, for History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
At Graybar, we know your time is money. That's why our services go beyond parts and products. With kitting, pre-assembly, wire carts, and Graybar smart reels that keep you moving. We stage materials and manage logistics so you can spend less time sorting and more time installing. And with locations nationwide, we deliver when and where you need it, working to make your job easier every step of the way. Yep, Graybar does that.
As the U.S. men's national team takes center stage at a home World Cup, Make sure you're listening to Call It What You Want, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can join me, I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Davies, Tony Meola, Marcelo Balboa, and Benny Feilhaber throughout this tournament for previews, instant reactions, and analysis of every U.S. match. Then all summer, we're back every Tuesday and Thursday, covering all things U.S. Men's National Team. Download and follow Call It What You Want on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
4,427 Allied soldiers died today, June 6th.
D-Day, man.
D-Day.
One of my biggest bucket list trips.
Normandy.
Going to the beaches of Normandy.
Yeah.
Tie up there for me.
It's what's crazy is when you're on social media, and I saw this yesterday afternoon when I had heard the Rogers news came out. I wanted to see what was happening. Somebody had retweeted a video of like up-to-date color and picture quality of Babe Ruth.
Yeah, hitting
taking
some,
swings.
Standing in the box.
And I'm amazed that we are to that point in our lives we could do that. And there, a lot of people were doing that with D-Day videos of watching soldiers help other soldiers get ready and prepare for their jump out of the airplane and
wild stuff.
It's
man.
Just crazy to see that, like from that long ago, and to see you restore the video and be like, man,
dude, there's so many good documentaries out there that where they've colorized the filming that they shot, whether it be over the air, anywhere in the European campaign, on D-Day, banana stuff that they've been able to turn into incredible documentaries.
Yeah, so observe the day. Pay respect.
D-Day today, man.
D-Day.
Pretty big day in American history.
Yeah, I would say so.
Pretty big kahuna.
Pretty important. So we talked about this a little bit going into the series, and lo and behold, it happens in game one. Or at least I kind of thought it happened in game one. Did Rick Carlisle steal a game already? Did Rick Carlisle win a game for the Pacers last night? I mean, like, I know the players play, and people don't want to give coaching all of the credit. I'm not sitting here suggesting he is the only reason they won that game.
Sure.
Siakam was good. Despite Nembhard's stat line, I thought he was really good. Nesmith hit big shots. Turner hit big shots.
He did.
After Obi Toppin stopped throwing up on tripping on himself, I thought he played a good game. Hit three turnovers in like the first two possessions. It
like,
felt
dude,
like.
Take a deep breath, I buddy. Know. You're going to be all right,
quit
man.
Quit throwing it in the backcourt.
Calm down, Obi Toppin.
But the funny thing was, 45 minutes later, he hits a three. I'm loading my dishwasher. Ain't no stop. Obi Toppin.
Never doubted you, Obi Toppin. I always knew you would come through.
So, certainly understand it. But did Rick Carlisle, did he outcoach Daigneault?
I would argue he did, yeah. I don't know if that was the entire reason. I think teams get tight. There's something with Indiana where I think they believe in themselves in these moments where when it's happened this often, I think it sounds like a cliche, but I'm sure they're saying in the huddle, like, dude, we've been here before. We could do this. We know that we could. We did it on the road in New York in game one of the conference finals in a game that they had no business winning. And so they've been there, and that helps when you're in those moments. But I do think when you look at the two sides of this, and it's nothing against Daigneault in Oklahoma City, but I think we would all argue there's a pretty big coaching advantage just in terms of experience and knowledge. And you know, past runs that he's been through, that Carlisle has the coaching advantage in this series, and I did think it showed itself in the second half of the game.
Here's Rick Carlisle talking about his halftime adjustments.
There were different areas. I mean, they were getting to the rim a lot in the first half. The turnovers were the first thing that we talked about. You know, it seemed like we were doing a good job on the boards, but they had 20 more shots than we did in the first half, and so that was really fool's gold too. And so, look, it was just, you know, hit the reset button. Let's go whistle to whistle in the third quarter, try to chip away at it and try to hang in.
Well, and it was such a tough first half. We mentioned the turnover problem they had. They got outshot. Their defense and their rebounding kept them into it. Their defense put Oklahoma City in a weird spot. It wasn't an offense I was accustomed to seeing.
No.
From Oklahoma City, but here was Halliburton talking about that first half. Just, you know, a little too excited, I think, for the NBA Finals.
I felt jittery. I was playing too fast. I was out of control. I mean, we had, 20 turnovers in, the first half. Like,
that's the most you've had in 25 years.
Yeah, and just very uncharacteristic of us. You know,
how much of that's them?
A lot. Yeah. A lot. They're a historic defense. They're a great defense. But I just think we caught ourselves driving with no plan. You know, against this team, if you drive with no plan, it can get ugly. It can get ugly quick.
You can get lost.
Yeah, exactly. So we just got to do a better job of driving with a plan, and playing with some more controlled chaos. We love chaos, but they love chaos too. But we need it to be more controlled. And we'll watch the film, see if we can get better. I thought we were a lot better in the second half. I think in the third quarter, we have, what, three turnovers for, like, three fast break points, three points off turnover, something like that. And that's winning basketball. So, you know, there's a lot for us to improve on with this game. We'll go back and watch the film and see where we can get better.
Why is it changing with the same clip? I thought Swag had doctored
that. Did we doctor that audio?
No, I saw this live. I watched this live, and I was like, I thought his mic broke. That's why people hate him.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
He does that all the time. Like, listen to a press conference. He'll be
two different people and the same answer.
We talked about playing really hard, and then we put it together. Then we came back, and it's just like, what?
How are we going in and out of a different voice throughout one answer? All right, Allie. You know, hey, I'm rooting for you this series. You're not overrated to me anymore.
I have no clue. Would you guys care? So I asked that question about Carlisle, okay? And today,
I think late in the game when he put Nembhard as the primary ball handler running point.
Yeah, they took Halliburton off the ball to bring the ball up.
And OKC didn't have a good response. They didn't really change anything.
He hit a huge three late in that game too. That step back three was massive.
Was crazy. Yeah. You know, the thing I like about Carlisle as somebody who coaches 7th-8th grade girls basketball.
Yeah, from your experience as a coach.
Haven't won a game all year.
Your winning percentage is a little bit closer to Chauncey's, though. We got to get it on the Carlisle level here.
We're in a rebuild. Okay.
Chauncey got an extension.
How's the GM? Oh, that's true. He's still coaching.
Touché.
How's the GM feel about you? We don't know. The owner won't speak about the team.
I've gotten public support.
You got, yeah.
All right.
The players are behind you.
Segment's not about me.
No,
all right?
Okay, it's not. Not at all.
What I am impressed about watching Carlisle, though, is not only how calm he kind of always is, where I remember Carlisle with the first Pacer stint and even a little bit of the Mavericks, he could be a red ass.
Yeah, be fiery.
And now he's just like in a tracksuit and he's like, that's a good play.
I'm down by 12. Okay.
Like they were at his press conference was hilarious. It's just like, Rick, how much credit would you say you and your, well, you know, the players got to go play. And then it's like, Rick, did you talk to your players during that late review about, like, get the ball? And then what was the idea of not calling a timeout on that final possession with Halliburton?
He's a great player. I trust him.
It's just like, I want to live in the Rick Carlisle
energy.
Just
calm, cool, and in control.
But somewhere right now, Andrew Nemec is waking up, stretching his little arms, going,
I was right.
Mount Rushmore for
Rick
Carlisle.
It's going to be a real conversation if they win it. Like, it is going to his credit.
A team that won 50 games in the regular season in the Eastern Conference, knocking off, statistically speaking, one of the best teams we've ever seen.
I would say a couple, because the Cleveland Cavaliers were pretty damn good this year.
They were pretty damn good, too.
And OKC is a juggernaut. Would you care to guess the last time a team came back in the fourth quarter down 15 points in an NBA Finals?
I could answer this because I know the answer.
Oh, okay.
I saw this last night.
Oracle, do you know? Come on, Riggins. What was the last
time? In a Finals game.
15-point deficit, fourth quarter, a team came back and they won in an NBA Finals game.
Nope.
Thankfully, this is not a stat about Game 7 of the Conference Finals.
It is not a stat about that. That was all over the place
yesterday, and I was not thrilled with that anniversary.
I'm not going to pull the audio, but I will say, because we were tagged in it, Shaq was on Bear Grylls' show and basically was asked, what's your favorite moment of your career? And he said, close your eyes. Imagine the Staples Center, and you're down 16.
Kobe throws a lob. Is it a lob? I don't know if it's a lob.
And I'm just like, shut up.
No!
Shut up. No, the theme of the segment is who?
Oh, the Mavs.
Mavs, 2011. Yeah. I'll never forget that because
J.J. Barea, lock it up LeBron's ass.
No, it's game two. D-Wade hit a three. LeBron jokingly punched him near the Mavs bench. They didn't like that. They went back. Dirk and the crew, fourth quarter comeback, came out from 15. So the last two times this happened in the finals, Rick Carlisle.
Rick Carlisle is the guy who did it. I also love two things at the end of that game. One was, how is that not a foul on Siakam going for the loose ball? I don't understand that at all.
I couldn't believe it. I'm like, he clearly shouldered him.
And he's like asking for the review. They review it and they're like, not a foul. Okay, whatever. Guess we're not calling that. And then the idea of not calling a timeout on basically the last possession of the game is such a Monday morning quarterback thing. Because if they don't end up getting a good look and they lose, everybody from a national perspective is screaming, you got to call a timeout there. But they don't call a timeout. Halliburton gets a shot. He knocks it down. He's a genius for letting the play unfold. They couldn't set up their defense. And Rick Carlisle does it again.
I'll give you a hot take. I actually don't think that is our takeaway.
It's not our takeaway. I'm just saying from a national standpoint, that definitely would have been the
argument. You think that would have been a big deal?
real?
Yeah. People are stupid.
Yeah. Halliburton had won those games all playoffs.
He's now like 14 of 16 in game tying or go ahead shots in the final minute of the game in this
and
NBA
they had
season.
Such flow going, like you're riding that wave. It wasn't a dead ball situation.
I thought they made good points on the it was either the broadcast or the post game where I think it was Legler.
Yeah.
Legler pointed this out, and I thought it was a great point. Because I didn't think he would call timeout.
I'm glad that he didn't.
Winning those moments all playoffs.
Yeah, give him the ball and get out of the way.
But Legler's like, if you call timeout here, I think Carlisle recognized that they're in transition defense. They're not going to be able to get it together.
You might make a sub, put somebody else in, something like that.
Make sure you're matched up
If the ball, if the
Lou
rebound...
Dort's locked up on him.
Right.
If the rebound got tipped and went out of bounds and it was a dead ball... He might have called a timeout at that point, but it was live play.
Casein Wallace on him, and he's like, I'm going to do whatever I want to do.
Yeah.
I'm going to rise up and hit this shot.
I'm going to win this game, bitch.
That wasn't a foul on the loose ball, not considering how much they
disagree with you.
They
disagree.
Had been letting,
he got shoulder.
Letting it go.
It was going for the ball. That's,
considering what they've been, how few whistles they had blown in that game comparatively, and that was.
I mean, it just, you know, they did so many great things at the end of that game.
Contact.
And we knew that they had that chance, but when he hit that shot, it just still felt so surreal. Like, did I really just watch them win this game?
Did the Indiana Pacers just win game one of the NBA Finals?
The best part was I had two Knicks friends of mine text me 20 minutes before this game ended. Haven't watched a second. Saw the score. Not surprised. And my other buddy, I watched a little bit. It's really boring. They're just shooting threes.
Shoot the Inca. I watched the whole thing. Yeah. Saw it happen.
No,
not
I texted
surprised.
Him. 4-point game. Thunder turning into Knicks.
Here they come.
They're
crumbling right now. Could have won game one. Bing bong. Bye-bye, Knicks.
Busted out my member berries.
I remember when you did this. Remember this when it happened to you in game one? Remember this?
Let's pause. Pause finals.
Finals.
Pause the finals.
We'll see in a bit, finals.
Got more audio to get to at the top of the hour. Got some more stats I want to share with you.
More
Halliburton
nuggies.
Historically doing something that no player in NBA history has done since they started tracking this stat. I'll tell you what that is. And then I got a part of the finals that we have to talk about. Okay? It's a must talk about. So we'll get to that. Coming up next, he's back. We get it. We know. Dirt's excited. He's buying a Steeler jersey. Next on The Fan.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bringing a data center online takes more than equipment. It takes precision. Graybar helps customers predict, stage, schedule, deliver, and verify every step of the build with critical products that are available now. From networking and wireless to critical power and testing tools, our teams help you reduce downtime risk and keep projects on track. Speed. Scale. Ready now. Yep. Graybar does that.
Why does it feel like nobody really gives us the inside scoop? Join us on The Powers That Be, the podcast where insiders from Puck break down who has influence, how they use it, and what it actually means for you. New episodes every weekday. Listen to The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, Jerry Dulac was right. Rodgers is a Steeler. There you go.
Rodgers!
Coming up next.
Rodgers!
They firmly believe that Aaron Rodgers will be their quarterback. Look, they're not stupid.
We can make fun of them all we want. They're not stupid. They knew how this was going
to
end.
Can you play this? Well, before you play this one more time, I want you to just listen to it, because he's probably been asked this question 1,000 times.
When did we have him on? 3 weeks ago?
It was May.
At least,
Oh, a month.
It was May 8th, a month ago. Okay. Jerry Dulac is a longtime columnist in Pittsburgh. That dude knows that city like the back of his hand, but don't you dare bring up the Pittsburgh Pirates. He doesn't want to talk about that disaster.
He's more excited to cover the U.S. Open this week.
He loves golf, and he loves the Steelers. He has been on our show for 5-6 years as a pretty regular Pittsburgh guy. And I want you to listen to the sound of his voice when asked, like, hey, is this going to happen? Listen to how he's just like, yes, you idiots, this is happening. Listen to the tone.
They firmly believe that Aaron Rodgers will be their quarterback. Look, they're not stupid.
It's just like a parent lecturing a child. They firmly believe, as if I've told you this 8 times.
We go to church every Sunday morning at 8 o'clock.
And you're never ready.
I know how this goes.
If you want to go out for pancakes afterwards, you got to go to Bible school.
I don't really have much of a differing opinion. This has been talked about forever, and there's nothing surprising about this other than, hey, they play the Jets week one at I think it's in New York.
I mean, the NFL knew that this was going to happen.
Right.
Yes. The NFL made their scheduling announcement. We talked about this when the schedule came out of they know that Rodgers is going to Pittsburgh. It's only a matter of time because the Steelers are in certain games throughout the year where you're like, oh, that's interesting. They play Green Bay and they play the Jets and they play in Chicago late in the year where you would always say, I'm your daddy. Like, they knew what they were doing with these games. They knew that he was going to be there. It was a foregone conclusion. The only dumb thing is, and this is why Aaron Rodgers is so insufferable, what the hell took you so long? Why did we have to wait until June 5th for you to sign your $10 million deal or whatever it's going to end up be? I don't think we've seen the details of the contract yet.
Well, then we just have workouts. Voluntary workouts.
He could have signed 2 months ago. We all knew he was going to be a Steeler.
If he doesn't show up for the voluntary workouts, they're going to go, well, that's not very Steeler of you.
Why didn't you show up? Are you not a team guy, Aaron Rodgers? Yeah, I mean, I think everybody's opinions have formed on this. Nobody's going to shift. I don't think it puts them into any sort of Super Bowl contention, but I will argue that it's better than Mason Rudolph. What does that mean? I don't know. But the Steelers long ago should have had a long-term plan at quarterback, and they have decided to not go that route. Maybe it's Will Howard, who they took in, the fifth or sixth round, and he turns out to be their Brock Purdy of this NFL draft and turns into a franchise guy. But this is something that they should not have kicked down the road for a long time. Considering their circumstances they're currently in, he is better than Mason Rudolph.
I had somebody comment on our debate on that and say, man, he really just planting the flag on the Rodgers thing. Andrew Filippone in Pittsburgh says, good morning. It's a great day to come to your senses and realize Aaron Rodgers is no longer a good quarterback. It's a liberating feeling.
Yeah, I don't know if I would say good. He's definitely not elite. He's nowhere near that anymore. I don't think he's a bottom 10 guy in the NFL, but he's definitely not where he used to be.
I guess the point of our argument, as dumb as it may have been in the moment, but to debate Mason Rudolph and Aaron Rodgers.
Yes.
I don't think...
Tough day for Mason Rudolph yesterday, too.
Also Will Howard.
Very tough day for those guys.
I don't think...
Daddies are fighting.
My overall point on that argument, aside from just not wanting a guy like that in my locker room, I just don't think their ceiling changes with one or the other.
I don't think you're wrong there.
So that was kind of my point.
Could you win a playoff game?
No.
You don't think so?
No.
Yeah.
In fact, I'm actually leaning...
Do it again. Do it again.
I am. Do it again. I'm thinking about it.
Do it again.
Because everybody and their mom's jumping on it, and I'm just like,
do it again.
I mean, is he never going to have a sub 500 season?
What's their over under this year?
I think it's exactly
right at 8.5.
So it's exactly.
So they're always doing that 500
perfect
thing.
Perfect, right on.
And
the
it dot. Didn't move when it what? Became official.
Yeah. So an 8-8-1 season would hit the under there.
Yeah, you need a tie. You get a tie, and he doesn't finish below 5. That has happened to him before, I believe. I believe he's had a year where they tied a game, and
that's
then
kept the 500.
They went 500, and then they had a tie in there. So technically, it's not below 500. It's never happened.
Did they tie in that game? Was that Cleveland or was that Detroit? I want to say it was a random, not great team, and they tied.
Yeah.
But they're not even a great team.
No.
I saw this news, and I was just like,
They have a dominant defensive line. They've got a good overall defense. Their offensive line is terrible.
Do they have a dominant defensive line yet?
I would still give them that. I would
Watt's
still give
getting
them
a little up there, and Hayward's about to retire.
I mean, I know that they're longer in the tooth. I'll grant you that. But I still think they deserve the benefit of the doubt. And I think when healthy, Watt's one of the best defensive linemen in the NFL. I just trust them on that side of the ball. The issue for them outside of quarterback the last handful of years has been their offensive line has sucked. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that's going to be much different. And so that's the big fear about having a 41-year-old quarterback who can't really move.
That Washington kid was pretty good for him last year.
He wasn't terrible. And you added DK Metcalf in the offseason, so they feel like they have a number one wide receiver who's not going to be as big of a head case as George Pickens was last season. And so I think they're going to have the same exact year. The question is, can you get a little bit better play out of Aaron Rodgers? Because the one thing I know we all feel however we feel about him, and people aren't going to change their opinions. The one thing that I will say to be fair to him is that was his first year coming off an Achilles injury at the age of 40. And so is there a slight bit more juice in the tank for him? Because I do think his numbers in the last 7 or 8 weeks of the year got drastically better than they were in the first half of the year. Now, some of that is playing meaningless games against teams who were playing for nothing, right? And you're getting mixed match defensive teams and guys in and out of the lineup. So you're going to benefit late in the year for those reasons. But it's hard to come back from that injury and be the same player that you were before. So maybe there's a little more juice in the tank there for him this year.
They firmly believe that Aaron Rodgers will be their quarterback. Look, they're not stupid.
They're not stupid.
Jerry Dulac breaking the news yesterday.
Now, we might call the rough at Oakmont stupid, but he's covering the U.S. Open.
I don't think it's stupid. I think it's wonderful.
I think it's great.
I think it's fantastic.
I want to see those dudes suck.
I want to try and hit a ball out of that.
You think I can get a ball out of that?
I don't know if I could.
I might break a wrist.
Yeah, I might break my wrist.
I just got to take your gap wedge and say I'm hitting this thing 40 yards. Let's get it back in the fairway.
Coming up next, not so good news from down south. Do we know if this is true? We could talk about that. I want to get Dirt's reaction to it next on The Fan. Well, we had a bit of breaking news yesterday down in Eugene. Matt Zenitz of CBSSports.com is reporting that veteran wide receiver Evan Stewart could miss the 2025 season after suffering a lower body injury this week. He, of course, decided not to go into the draft. He came back. That was a big deal for them because they had experience on the outside. He had some big plays for them last year, obviously, after transferring from A&M. And Matt Zenitz is saying, your dude.
My dude.
Out for the year.
Yeah, it's been confirmed. Zachary Neal, who covers the Ducks down in Eugene, has confirmed it. It's a knee injury. Oof. And nobody knows if it's the entire year or the majority of the year, but I think just go ahead and chalk it up that you're probably not going to see a lot of Evan Stewart this year. And, man, it sucks, dude. Like, you go through injuries in fall camp, you go through injuries in spring ball, but spring ball's done. And fall camp is not here yet. And so I think from what I read, he was just running in some 7-on-7, clearly banged up his knee to a point where it was concerning, and now the news has been released that he's going to miss the entire year. You're replacing a lot of production at wide receiver. Tez Johnson was a monster for you in the slot. Trayshawn Holden had a great career at Oregon, despite the spitting incident, and you look to Evan Stewart to be the fill-in guy as your number one wide receiver. Now, remember, he didn't play in the Rose Bowl. He got a back injury, I believe. He did not participate at all in the spring game. He was standing on the sideline. That was one of those weird, like, why isn't he in the game? He was in uniform, not playing. Everybody was kind of wondering, why isn't he out there? For those of us sickos who watched the spring game, he was on the field, just not playing. And now you get the news he's going to miss the rest of the year. And when you have a first-time starting quarterback, because Dante Moore has started some games, but a new starting quarterback that you're breaking in, one of the things that you want to surround him with is as many weapons as possible, and that's been one of the things that has alleviated some of the concerns about what will Dante Moore look like, is look at all the pieces he has to work with. Well, now one of the biggest pieces is going to be off the board for you.
Could you tell us, so if he is out now, and obviously there's some pretty notable names of star note, but like, what's that receiver room look like without Evan Stewart for the year?
So, I mean, I think Justice Lowe came on last year and I thought had some nice moments, so you're going to lean on Justice Lowe. Gary Bryant missed basically the entire year last year. He was an impact wide receiver for you the year before, so he will be back. I don't view either of them as a number one guy. After that, you're going with who is the highly touted recruit that can have a big year.
He's a five-star kid coming in.
DeCorian Moore is the number one wide receiver in the country. He looked great in the spring game, but he's a true freshman. So will it translate right away? Will it take a couple of years? We don't know.
Well, last year, not to interrupt you, but last year you had two five-star
massive
receivers in Alabama and Ohio State say, doesn't matter our age.
Doesn't matter at all.
We can be studs.
And then there was a kid at Texas Tech who didn't do anything, who was one of the highest-rated wide receivers in the country. So that's the thing with recruiting. You just never know. But I think you lean on DeCorian Moore if you can. I think Jeremiah McClellan, who was a highly touted recruit, he's going to be a redshirt freshman, just redshirted last year, is a guy that they'll look to. Malik Benson was a transfer they brought in from Florida State, a guy who is not a number one, but you got a lot of good. They're essentially like the Portland Trailblazers of wide receivers at this point. They do have some guys with high upside, but it's unknown. And then you have a lot of good role players as your wide receivers. Like, Gary Bryant's a good wide receiver. He's not a number one. He's not a, I wouldn't look at him as a game changer. Same thing with Justice Lowe. Same thing with the Malik Benson. And so it comes down to, can McClellan or DeCorian Moore be that guy?
How much more important is Sadiq now?
I mean, yeah. I mean, you need Kenyon Sadiq to live up to the baby Brock Bowers name. If this news holds, which it looks like it will, that Stewart will be out for the entire year.
Yeah, I don't think everybody's posting this stuff without having that information.
I think Kenyon Sadiq has the opportunity to be one of, if not the best tight ends in the entire country this year. I think that highly of him, and so you're going to just pray that he stays healthy and that you can rely on him as a security blanket for your new starting quarterback this year.
Did you scream into a void when you saw this, or are you not surprised by it?
I feel bad for him. He's battled a lot of injuries in his career. This was a problem for him at Texas A&M. He couldn't stay healthy. Yeah. He got injured last year, missed the Rose Bowl, biggest game of the year, couldn't play. He didn't have your number two wide receiver. That was a massive blow for them early. So part of it is just feeling bad for him, and then it's funny, though. Sometimes these injuries happen, and then you never know what the offshoot of it is going to be.
You might get a DeCorian Moore.
Maybe it's DeCorian Moore looking like Jeremiah Smith this year. Maybe it's Jeremiah McClellan. Maybe it's, remember Jurion Dickey? Remember when they signed Jurion Dickey? He's still there.
Is he still wearing 99?
He's still there. He doesn't wear 99 anymore, but he's still there. And so he was a five-star kid. Is he going to have a breakout year? Like, you're just looking at a lot of young players who are highly touted recruits saying, can any of you step in and be a number one wide receiver? Because I think they desperately need that, and Evan Stewart was going to be
very,
that.
Very quickly, because I want to get to the second hour. We'll get back into some final stuff. Is this the kind of news for you, because we still got to get summer ball here, fall ball, is this the kind of news that changes expectation or thought of what their season is? Their schedule's pretty manageable.
I wouldn't go that far yet.
You think so? This is like, okay, this blows, sucks, but they can overcome this.
I think they have the ability to overcome it. Will they? I don't know. Mm-hmm. But I do think there's enough talent in that room that I'm going to hold out a little bit of hope that one of those guys has the ability to look like a number one wide receiver this year.
We definitely won't talk about my Atlanta Braves blowing a 6-run lead in the ninth inning in the second hour. I can promise you that. That's not going to happen.
No, not at all. We're definitely not going to bring that up.
Might talk about the Mariners blowing it, though. But hour number two, the NBA Finals Game 1. Pacers win it. Let's kick off the second hour there. On the Fan.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer. SummerSlam.
I know. I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino
and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. Beginning, middle, or end of the year, it's always a great time to take control of your financial life. And the Jill on Money podcast is here to help. Your questions make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money, and more importantly, on your life. Follow and listen to Jill on Money wherever you get your podcasts.
At Graybar, we know your time is money. That's why our services go beyond parts and products. With kitting, pre-assembly, wire carts, and Graybar smart reels that keep you moving. We stage materials and manage logistics so you can spend less time sorting and more time installing. And with locations nationwide, we deliver when and where you need it, working to make your job easier every step of the way. Yep, Graybar does that.
How We Met Your Mother is the How I Met Your Mother rewatch podcast with me, Josh Radner, and series co-creator Craig Thomas. Follow How We Met Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.